Welcome to the Athena Wellness Podcast, the show that invites you to take a seat around the community fire and listen to stories that inspire. I'm your host, Kathy Robinson, author, coach, and founder of Athena Wellness, a company that's dedicated to supporting you on your journey to live more wholeheartedly. Hello, and welcome to episode 41. Thanks so much for joining me. This episode is going live at the end of May 2021, and it feels to me like we're breaking the global huddle we were all in and getting back to life outside of our respective four walls. How's that feeling for you? I thought this would be a good time to talk about change and transition, because as we re-engage with the world, once again, we're undergoing a huge shift. And it's not the only shift we're experiencing. The velocity of change in our world has increased exponentially in all realms: technology, social, political, cultural, you name it. You can feel it, a daily influx of change. The director of engineering at Google, Ray Kurzweil, is an MIT graduate and a best-selling author. He's written about the acceleration of change, predicting a doubling of paradigm shift rate each decade. That's a staggering rate of increase. Here's how he describes our future. Quote, "We won't experience 100 years of technological advance in the 21st century. We will witness on the order of 20,000 years of progress, or 1,000 times greater than what was achieved in the 20th century," unquote. It's hard to wrap your head around it. So what you may be feeling, kind of like standing on shifting sand, is real. And I wanted to spend some time talking about how to navigate these relentless seismic shifts and how we can fortify ourselves for oncoming waves of change that will inevitably speed up as the years continue. That's what we'll be exploring today. We'll cover the difference between change and transition, the lesson of impermanence, and how to keep well in mind, body, and spirit in the acceleration. So sit back, take a nice long breath to ground yourself in presence, and let's get started. So let's talk about the difference between change and transition. When we use the word change, we mean to alter, vary, or modify to make something different. What's interesting is that within the standard definition of the word is this sentence: change implies making an essential difference, often amounting to a loss of original identity. That's interesting, right? There's a shift, and we're losing something as a result. A shedding to make room for the new. Now, the word transition is defined as the movement or passage from one position, state, stage, or concept to another. So when we speak of change, it's related to our surrounding circumstances. Things are happening in our environment. But transition is the internal shift we need to make in response to that change. It's how we process any loss and how we choose to move forward. Think back to your adolescence. Change was everywhere. Puberty, new school, social situations, experiences, as well as the loss of childhood. But the transition to adulthood happened internally as your values, desires, dreams, and responsibilities began to take shape to support the external changes that you experienced. Many times, it's not the change itself that brings up resistance, but it's the process of transition, because we need to adjust to a new reality and let go of the notion of how things were and who we were in the past. The lesson of impermanence. The first time I can remember being completely upended in my life was the fall of 2001, in the aftermath of September 11th. My commutes into the city to go to work were a daily reminder of the threat and profound sense of sadness that permeated my being. I felt like a ghost. I was going through the motions, but felt empty, at a complete loss. Nothing made sense. I remember a particular Saturday in October when I was scouring the local bookstore looking for some answers. What I came upon was a book called When Things Fall Apart, Hard Advice for Difficult Times by Buddhist nun Pema Chodron. I had seen the book before, but I wasn't in need of hard advice until that day. I am holding that book in my hands as I speak to you today, with all of my yellow highlighting fading with the years. But the main teaching is still fresh in my mind. Impermanence is a gift. The word impermanence is defined as the state of lasting for only a limited period of time. To simplify it, it means everything changes. And it's one of the most fundamental teachings of Buddhism that we have a mistaken view that things last forever. And that's what causes our suffering, that we try to cling to things that by their very nature won't last. It wasn't the answer I was looking for. What I wanted was some explanation of why I experienced what I did and some sense that everything was going to be okay. The answer that I got was it was the fear behind the need for the answers and the reassurance that was causing my distress. You've heard me mention mindfulness repeatedly on this podcast, and this is an area where it's really helpful. The way we work with impermanence is learning how to let go of what's causing the suffering. It's not the change, but it's what we think and feel about the change. This was the realization that Pema's teachings helped me move through in 2001. And that's when I started to get into mindful awareness, working with the concept that everything changes. It didn't help me understand what happened, but it helped me work through it by noticing what was changing around me every day. The weather, my emotions, a flower, my body, the people moving in and out of my day, my mental outlook, my relationships, the stars. Everything that surrounded me was in motion, and all I had was the present moment to witness it. It also gave me an incredible appreciation, an almost heartbreaking appreciation of the preciousness of life. Here are some things that I learned. I learned that the key was not to grasp, or what the Buddhists call samsara, the endless cycle of believing we can find lasting pleasure and avoid pain. I learned the wisdom in the old Buddhist saying, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. I learned the value of a do-no-harm philosophy, even in the midst of chaos, even when, especially when, public opinion is quite the opposite. I learned to compassionately readjust whenever I diverged from these lessons, which was often, since it's so easy to forget these important concepts. And ultimately, I learned that impermanence is indeed a gift. And as I flipped through the yellowed pages of the book that I bought nearly 20 years ago, I wondered what it would be like to revisit that wisdom. And I've been listening to the book on some of my walks this past week, and the prose sounds just as fresh. It's helped me see that I'm at a completely different vantage point than where I was 2 decades ago, one I couldn't have imagined standing in that bookstore. I'll put a link to the show notes to the book and Pema's website if this sounds of interest. My point in sharing this story is that it's the resistance to impermanence, what we're losing, that gets in the way of welcoming and embracing change. And holding on to that resistance can set us on a course to be battered by change rather than seeing it as a way to grow through transition. Author William Bridges has written and consulted extensively on transition. He's framed the transitioning process by stating that the shift does not start with a new situation. It starts with letting go. He explains it this way. Endings come first. You can't do something new until you've let go of what you're currently doing. Even the transitions that come from good changes begin with losses of some sort. Bridges uses three questions that he finds critical in times of change. 1. What is changing? 2. What will be different because of the change? And 3. Who's going to lose what? I think that's such a great perspective, to acknowledge what's ended and its impact. Even the good changes, promotions, marriages, the birth of a child, moving to a new home or a new town. All of these changes ask us to leave something behind in order to embrace the new. It changes our identity. The struggle and related suffering we may feel comes from trying to hold on to old behaviors in new situations. If you find yourself in this place, here are 3 things I've found helpful. 1. Find ways to grieve your old identity and mark its passage, whether through journaling, ritual, or time alone. This should make it easier to let it go. 2. Determine the best way to meet your needs in new ways, or invite a shift where those old needs no longer need to be met. And 3, welcome your new way of being and look for signs of its emergence. Hold the question of what support you may need at this time. Most importantly, be gentle with yourself. This new beginning will take some time. You may find yourself in liminal space for a while, that place where your old world no longer exists, but you're not at your new destination yet. Or if you have arrived, you may not have the habits and routines in place just yet, and the new identity may not have developed. This is a place of growth and learning, and it can be uncomfortable. I think of a flower bud accumulating the energy to bloom, but you're not quite there yet. You can't force it. In time, your personal growth and habits will support your new circumstances, and that flower will indeed bloom. So how do we keep well during times of change? Since change is a natural occurrence, it's useful to have strategies in place to help when personal or professional transitions occur, whether planned or unexpected. A resilience toolkit of sorts, a way of feeling empowered for challenges that lie ahead. Here are some suggestions. Assess the situation. What's in your control and what's beyond it? Allow the uncontrollable events to unfold and be mindful to focus your energy on where you can improve the situation. Next is leveraging the power of presence. How are you feeling in this exact moment? Fear can tighten us up with memories of the past and uncertainty about the future. When you're feeling overwhelmed, pause and see how you're doing in this moment. Odds are you're okay, you'll be okay, and you have just what you need. Next is reviewing past successes. Where have you had successful transitions in the past? Were you able to shift your attitude or readjust your expectations? Remember all the ways you've accepted instead of resisted, along with the times where you've been resilient. Then identify the lessons that you can apply to your current situation. Find the opportunity. How might this change invite you to take a step toward what matters most? Disruption of any sort brings a sense of newness and innovation. How might you use this as an opportunity to live more in alignment with your values? Listen for clues from your innate wisdom. What surfaces just might surprise you? make a plan. What steps can you take? Even if you're not a planner, outlining a plan of action can bring a sense of calm. Doing a brain dump of all the chatter in your head and sorting through it can be therapeutic in that it reduces uncertainty and it provides the next logical step. Next is take good care. What are you feeling and how can you process it? Change brings a well of emotion. Find the best way to help those feelings move through you with self-compassionate wellness practices. How are you sleeping, eating, moving, breathing? Simple adjustments can go a long way. If you have more capacity, how might you include more mindfulness, alone time, journaling, or creativity as breaks in your day? Align your activities with your energy level. What are the things that bring enjoyment and relaxation? A cup of tea? A brief break? Maybe some kindness? Tell yourself all the things you need to hear. Stay open, aware, and curious, noticing shifts moment by moment. Next is talk it out. Are you feeling overwhelmed? It's not unusual for our mental health to be impacted with some difficult emotions when we're navigating big changes. And that's because our brain wants to revert to old ways and habits that are no longer useful. That can cause anxiety. The unfamiliar can be uncomfortable and it can bring up resistance. Don't be afraid to ask for help by talking to family, friends, or getting external support. Next, allow change to take its course. If you find yourself looking for a shortcut, know it's natural to want closure and stability. It may seem counterintuitive, but consider surrendering your timeline. Instead, envision life on the other side and get in touch with who you are in this next phase. As you are ready, you'll begin to embody her over time. Lastly, reflect on the experience. When you have some distance, this is rich territory to explore. What were the lessons? How have you changed? Are you stronger, wiser, more creative, peaceful? In times of epic change, it can feel like you'll never be able to move forward, as it was for me, paralyzed in fear in that bookstore aisle decades ago. But you will. And while life may never return to the way it was, there's new life on the horizon. Have faith in that and keep taking one step at a time. I'd like to leave you with a quote from meditation teacher Tara Brach. She offers, "What is it that allows us to open our hearts to every moment of our life? It's the remembrance that it's passing and it's precious." Change will inevitably occur. It's part of our human experience. How we respond to it is up to us. May your major life changes lead to a future that holds many new adventures. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know there are many ways you can spend your time. Thank you for choosing to spend it with me. Until our paths cross again, be kind to yourself and show your warrior spirit some love. If you know anyone who could benefit from today's episode, please pass it on. And many thanks for supporting the show by subscribing and leaving a review. It means a lot and it helps others find their way to our circle. If you'd like to access the show notes, have a question you'd like addressed on a future episode, or would like a transcript of this episode, visit www.athenawellness.com/podcast. Until next time, be well.